Human clay, Dookie, cracked rear view. No, those aren't just three random things I saw on my way into the studio today. They are, in fact, the titles of some of the best-selling albums of the 1990s. Arbitrary names aside, they churned out hits that everyone still loves today. But what about some of the other songs on popular albums in the 90s, perhaps less successful or non-hits? We'll dive headfirst into that question on this all-new episode. Well, hello and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. On this podcast, we will take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us, and we promise you'll have an awesome time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined by someone that, despite all the warnings, continuously chases waterfalls. It's my good friend, Rob.
I do like a good waterfall. Dave and I want to take you on a ride today. We don't want you to say anything. We just need you to get inside. It's time for Dave and I to take you on another kind of trip because you know what they say. You can't have that hop if you don't have the hip, right? Before we begin, we start today's episode, we need to prepare a few things. Number one, you need to make sure you grab your gat. Number two, you need to grab that extra clip. And number three, close your eyes and hit the switch. Because we're about to go to a place where everybody kicks it. There's not going to be any blooding. There's not going to be any crimping.
No.
And nobody, I mean nobody, is going to be set tripping. You might be listening thinking, Rob, where are we going? Well, where we're going, everybody has a stack and it's not crack. And it really doesn't matter if you're white or if you're black. Doesn't matter. Dave and I are going to take you there like the Staple Singers. So if you can't take the heat, get your ass out the kitchen.
No.
Right? That was aggressive. I apologize. We're just trying to find a place where we can live our life. You know, maybe eat some steak with our beans and rice. Is that too much to ask? Where we're going, nobody's going to be crying. Nobody's going to be dying. And nobody is going to be worrying. But everybody is going to be trying.
Mm.
Yeah. So if you don't get anything from today's episode, we at least want you to walk away with these key points. Number one, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. It's good math.
That is good math.
Number two, if you want to have something, you better stop fronting. Number three, life is a bitch and then you die.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number four, we're all just trying to get a piece of that apple pie. Number five, you don't understand about running with a gang. Nobody understands.
No.
Number six, you don't have to stand on the corner and slang. You don't have to do that. And number seven, you can't help us if you can't help yourself. Number eight, question, what are you going to do when the five roll by?
Oh.
You gotta file that away. Think about that. And most importantly, number nine, stay sucker free and keep the busters off your jock.
Nice.
There you go. So that's.
You sound like you shouldn't say that, but that's okay. You know who knows more about running with a gang? Two white boys from Milwaukee, Oregon.
Yeah,
definitely that's right. Know nothing about running with gangs.
Yeah. Nobody going to be set tripping.
No. And nope. Again, I don't know if we can sell tripping, but we're saying it.
All right.
All right. Well, I don't like people that front either.
Yeah, no fronting.
Keep the fronters away from me.
That's right.
Keep fronters? I don't know if anybody says fronters, yeah, but I'm making it if it's not a thing.
And keep the busters off your jock.
Yes. Too many jocks in this one. So... Well, that's a solid hello. It's a fantastic hello, Rob.
Oh.
So I'm very excited about it. Well, Rob, I just want to give the audience a heads up. We've got some exciting episodes coming up to close out our first year. We're coming up in our last 2 months here, okay. 2 months of the first year of our podcast. So for November, we've got some great 80s and 90s music, as always. For the month of December, we will have mostly Christmas-themed shows to get you in that holiday spirit.
Ooh.
And our first episode of January, write this down, is going to be our inaugural recap show where Rob and I will relive all the best moments of our first year.
Yep.
Hopefully that's not a short episode. you know, Rob, actually, before I came in here today and we started recording, I was talking to Kip and the guys, and they're pretty excited about
Kip and the boys in the booth.
Yeah, they're pretty excited about the recap show because maybe we'll share some of the behind-the-scenes crap that they get to see that not everybody else has to deal with.
Right?
That's true. So they seem pretty excited about that.
To put up with our hijinks.
Sometimes. Yeah. So, but a few things for you, the audience, to look forward to. But in the meantime, Rob, the important question for today is, what is our topic for this episode?
Well, it's not hard to confuse me. So, I'm going to say it's the songs from albums of the 1990s. But there's a bit of a twist.
Yeah, that is correct.
How we've selected the songs. But yeah, we're looking at albums of the 1990s.
Yes.
And then
there'll be some sampled songs off of those albums.
Yes.
So, what we're doing, as Rob said, something a little fun. I think pretty cool this week, a little different. We're covering 90s music, as you said, but I, without Rob's input or approval, which I almost never seek, I have selected two very popular albums from each year in the decade, of which we will each select a song from to highlight its awesomeness. That sounds easy enough.
Yeah.
So we're each going to play a song from an album.
Okay.
That's how it is. However, there's a little twist. For each of these albums, I have eliminated what was considered by the media or radio listeners the most popular song, which required both of us to look across the album and find another song.
You did do that.
I did do that.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about that?
Some of the albums were not hard.
Oh, okay.
And then there were a few that I don't want to pick any.
Oh, okay.
I would have just said none.
Yeah, I picked some of those albums for the reason.
So I had to listen to it. I had to force myself to listen to it. And then I had to.
But all these albums I picked were like top selling albums.
I know.
From the 90s.
And
these aren't light hitters. These are middle of the order, heavy hitting albums.
Yeah. Right, and some of them I was like, oh yeah, I can see why this. And there was one on here that I hopefully we'll get to talk about. I didn't listen to.
Oh,
nice. In the 90s.
Wow.
And I listened to it and I thought I should have
listened to it in the 90s. Good.
And then there's some that I listened to and I went, I don't know why this was ever.
Well, and some of the albums I picked are some groups that we haven't spent a lot of time with or highlighted a bunch of their songs over this year. Mm-hmm. So this gives us an opportunity to play some of those other bands, whether you like them or not.
Yeah.
Because your crossed arms is very confrontational today. I don't know why
you're
crossing your arms getting angry about it.
Very defensive.
It's very defensive. Apparently. So, well, I feel good about it. I liked all the albums. I guess I chose them. And I chose a couple just to kind of stick in your craw a little bit. So,
okay, I was going to say, you can't like them.
Yeah, I like some of them. I like all of them. And I will defend all of them.
Oh, okay.
All right.
This should be fun.
Okay. Well, real quick, fans, before we dive into our lists, if you want to ensure you never miss an episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall and haven't done so already, make sure you hit that subscribe button and then share it with a friend. Hey, with the holidays coming up, the Rob and Dave experience is the perfect gift for someone, way better than a gift card or another candle, and you will be renowned by all of your friends and family for being so thoughtful.
Yeah, so thoughtful.
So thoughtful.
It's a great idea.
It is a great idea.
I know what I'll be getting my family.
Each in their stocking. Here's me sharing the podcast. That you haven't already shared it with all of them already. So, but for everyone else, easy stocking stuffers. Click, send it to their phone. There we go. Merry Christmas from Rob and I here coming up in the future. So
it's a gift that keeps on giving.
We are.
That's right.
So, well, never mind that we're out of time, but we hope you'll give this episode a 10 as we look back at some top albums from the 1990s. Well, before we jump into the music, in order to decide who gets which album for each year, we've embraced technology, which we love to do on this show. And right before we started, an app that I downloaded told Rob randomly which band he will get to select for each year. I don't know which one he got, so that means whichever band you got, I automatically get the other band an album, and then I will present the song from that. So
that's right.
Complicated.
A little bit.
Not complicated at all. Possibly.
All right.
We're doing it anyway.
Yeah. Over here on the switches, it could get a little messy, but we're gonna go.
Well,
Kip and the boys are going to come through.
We'll be fine.
Yeah.
So, well, I'll introduce the year,
okay,
the album, and which songs are off limits.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Let's see what happens.
So, for 1990, you and I are up-and-coming cool teenagers.
Okay.
Music, huge part of our lives.
Okay.
In fact,
I appreciate that you that we're up and coming cool teenagers.
This is our podcast. We were cool when we were teenagers. So I don't care what anybody else says.
Okay.
All right. So in fact, Rob, what were the most important things in our lives at this time?
You know, oh my gosh.
You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna do a top five things important to Rob and Dave. Yes, I use third person. I think it's important here. Five things important to Rob and Dave in 1990. So, no particular order.
Oh, okay.
I have them.
You have them?
I have them.
Oh, I want to hear it.
Yeah. Okay. So number five.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Food. We love food.
We
McDonald's,
do.
Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Anything at the mall, Sparrow, yeah. Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. You taught me to heat up like store-bought cookies in the microwave.
Very good.
That was really smart.
That is smart.
I occasionally will do it today.
I do love it.
So, peanut butter and honey sandwiches.
Great.
That was you. You taught me that.
Those are good too.
Yeah.
Laurel calls them poo butter.
Yeah. Those are great.
Those are good. I really like those. So number five, food.
Food.
Number four, Saturday Night Live.
We did like that.
We liked a lot of Saturday Night Live. We used to do the impersonations.
That was the
Dana Carvey,
like classic for us.
Dana Carvey, Mike Myers. We used to do the Coffee Talk, Wayne's World, Sprockets.
Chopping broccoli.
Yeah. So Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
We're cool already, aren't we?
Yeah.
Food and Saturday Night Live. Number three, sports. We love baseball.
Yes.
We love basketball. Right. At that time, the Trailblazers were good in the finals.
Minnesota Twins.
Minnesota Twins were good. Yeah. They're in the World Series. Yeah. A year later, they'll be in the World Series. They'd already won one. But yeah, sports.
Okay.
Sports Center.
Yeah.
Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann.
Classic Sports
Classic
Center.
Classic time. Yeah. All right. Number two, girls. Yes. Mm,
okay.
We like girls. We may not have been reciprocated.
I liked them. Okay. That's good.
I did look forward to the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition.
Oh, that was good.
I was a subscriber.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Was that Ireland? I remember that cover.
Kathy Ireland. Paulina Poroskova.
Oh, yeah.
Elle McPherson.
Oh, yeah.
And a host of others.
Yes.
But I did care for that magazine.
Why?
A great deal. I like
it. Oh, you did.
I did. Care for it.
Yeah.
It was great. I look forward to it all year.
Had great sports articles.
Yeah. So we got food. We got Saturday Night Live. We got sports. We got girls.
Okay.
Number one, what we're talking about today, music.
Music.
Yeah.
That's
music.
A great list.
We would listen to music when we were playing basketball at your hoop.
Yeah.
We would listen to music sometimes playing Nintendo. We just turn off the sound on the video game.
Yeah.
Turn on the radio.
Yeah. Mixtapes.
Music.
Yeah.
Right. So that's our five.
I love
five
it.
Five. Things most important to Rob and Dave in 1990.
That's really good.
Are those things?
That's really good.
Nothing else is important to us at that time.
No, that was our life.
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of anything else more important. Food, Saturday Night Live, sports, girls, music.
Yes.
I can't think of one other thing.
That summed up my life. There wasn't a whole lot else going on.
Well, putting us back on track in 1990, the two albums chosen, which were for different reasons, and they were both huge.
Mm-hmm.
You got CNC Music Factory with Gonna Make You Sweat.
Uh-huh.
Big dance pop album. Everybody, it was everywhere, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
MTV, all of it. And you had Alice in Chains' Facelift. This kind of is the precursor about a year or two before Nevermind's going to come out, 10. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of our first glimpse of what grunge is going to be, right? And it got some airplay on MTV. So, but the off limits songs here are going to be Gonna Make You Sweat.
Okay.
Such is the name of the album.
Yeah.
And Man in the Box
from
Facelift.
That was tough.
So to start with, Rob, tell us which album you've got.
Okay.
Is it the one you wanted? And play us your song choice.
No, it wasn't the one I wanted. And two, it's CNC Music Factory, Gonna Make You Sweat.
All right.
But the song I picked is
Yes. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'd have gotten CNC, this is the song I was going to go with. I love this. Things that make you go,
It's so stupid.
Oh. She knew that I was faithful and really didn't have to go. I tried to chill. She made the move. Now I know. I love this song. It's fun.
So dumb.
You're crazy. Yo, my girlfriend
didn't trust me. No. No. It's dumb.
Chill, baby. Wait.
Yeah. No. So this is obviously CNC Music Factory, 1991. It was released. The album was released in 90. Song came out in 91. Freedom Williams. It's inspired by a running gag on the Arsenio Hall show.
Yes.
Reached number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100. It's certified gold. Yeah. It's been described as another cleverly infectious top 10 smash. Okay. And I know you love the Aussies.
Ooh,
you reference them often.
I do. I do love the Aussies.
The Australian music channel, Max, included the song in their list of the 1,000 greatest songs of all time.
That's amazing.
That's really dumb.
What are you talking about?
Super stupid.
That's great. Are you not a fan of this song?
No, it's kind of dumb.
All right.
So then a little trivia for you.
Yes.
Let's see here. CNC Music Factory was named after the group's founders production team.
Yes.
The late David Cole and Robert, I don't know how to say it.
Okay.
Clavillis, or sure. I think it's French.
Sounds
something.
Good.
These two men assembled a group of talented musicians, a vocalist and a rapper who would make their debut recording a huge success.
Yes.
Among them was singer Zelma Davis.
Mm-hmm.
When the group's debut single was released, there was an almost instant controversy because there was an instantly recognizable voice featured as part of the lead vocal. Whose voice was it? A, Gloria Gaynor. Hey, B, Gliss.
You go for it. I don't need choices.
Yeah.
It was Marth Washington. From the Weather Girls.
That's right.
She's saying, it's raining men.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good.
It has a line like, I was at the crib, sitting by the fireplace, drinking cocoa on the bearskin rug.
I know the whole song by
the
heart.
The doorbell rang. Me. Who could it be? And then there's a mysterious call and the phone goes click. This is later.
Yeah.
You say to yourself, I'm going to hit him with a brick.
Yeah.
That's ludicrous.
I like the second verse where he goes out on tour and his buddy lives in the house. And then when he comes back, it looked like Jay, and I couldn't believe she had the baby, and it didn't look like him. It looked like his roommate. So
stupid.
No, it's great. I love things.
Did you know that one of the most common causes of excessive sweating?
Goodness.
Is hyperhidrosis. Hydrosis.
No one knows that. You wrote that down off of a weird website.
Right. It's thought to be a problem in the nervous system that's passed on genetically.
What does that have to do with things?
You could also have thyroid issues, diabetes, medication, or changing hormone levels. So if you have excessive sweating, you might want to go see your doctor.
I didn't get this album, but I do have a fun fact that you're really going to like, I think. And so I'm going to read it to you.
All right.
The harmonica player in the band. Uh-huh. Ooh, that's a deep cut, huh? Harmonica player in the band's
name. Who knows that there's a harmonica?
I'm just telling you.
All right.
His name is Hugh McCracken.
Really?
Possibly a long lost relative, Rob. I'm not sure.
Wow. I had a Hugh McCracken in my family.
McCracken worked with the Monkees, B.B. King, Paul Simon, Bob Dylan, Van Morrison, Aretha Franklin, and friends of the show, Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Friends of the show. That's
right.
Okay.
So CNC is legit if Hugh McCracken is willing to play harmonica for them.
Okay. All right.
So.
Well, yeah. So there's CNC Music Factory.
All right.
Make you sweat.
You got it.
Then you got the good one.
They were both good. I would have been just as happy with things that make you go.
I'd be curious to see what song you picked, though.
You're going
to
be curious. Yeah. All right. Well, great album I got. Alice in Chains' Facelift. So many good songs to choose from.
Uh-huh.
I know it front to back, so I had to think. But my favorite, A Man in the Box isn't even my favorite. Yeah. Probably my third or fourth favorite song on that album. But if I had to go with my absolute favorite, I'm going to play it. We'll see if you can figure it out.
Oh, shoot.
This is my favorite song on the album.
I know the
good drums right here.
Sea of Sorrow.
Sea of Sorrow.
Yeah.
That's it right there. It is. I love this song. So good.
Yeah. Love it.
Yep. So that is Sea of Sorrow, Alice in Chains. This song hit number 27 in the U.S. mainstream rock charts. Only moderate success upon its release and not much video rotation on MTV outside of a few times on 120 Minutes or Headbangers Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And those are late at night, which really meant if it got played after midnight most of the time. So, in fact, I don't even recall a video for this. I looked it up
and
I found something, but I never saw it. The only video I saw was Man in the Box. That played on MTV pretty regularly. So Facelift was released August 1990, has been certified 3 times platinum, selling over 3 million copies. This was the first grunge album to be certified gold, and Man in the Box off the album was nominated for a Grammy for Best Hard Rock Performance with Vocals. However, since the Grammys are mostly crazy all the time, right? Mm-hmm. I've decided every time I do a show like this, they lost to Van Hagar, which is absolutely horrible.
Yeah, that's too bad.
As Van Hagar beat out not only Alice in Chains, but AC/DC and Guns N' Roses. So Van Hagar was the best of that group that year at the Grammys. No. So whoever voted should have their credentials revoked today or in 1990. So fun fact, Rob, I know you love them. Alice in Chains from 1992 to 97 was nominated for a Grammy in 5 out of those 6 years.
Wow.
Never winning one at any time.
They never won one, huh?
Did not win one.
Ah, well, a little trivia for you. Alice in Chains was formed in 1987. However, Layne Staley formed a band just before the formation of Alice in Chains. What is the name of that band? A, Long Lost Losers. B, Alice in Chains with an N. C, Inhumane, Annihilation, or D, Nirvana?
I'm going to go with the C choice because I don't know.
No, it's actually Alice in Chains. Alice in Chains formed in 1986. Lane Staley actually had a band before this project called Sleaze, which later changed their name and decided to write different music under the name Alice N with an N.
Got it.
Chains. The band disbanded in 1987, and Lane Staley took the name for Alice in Chains.
Perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, well, that was 1990.
Yeah, that was good.
CNC?
You got the good one.
Alice in Chains?
Yeah.
No, they were both good. Everyone would agree that they were both solid.
Yeah, no, that's good.
All right, for 1991.
So we're 91.
We are 91. Albums I chose, which basically ruled the year, are Metallica by Metallica, also known as the Black Album, and Dangerous by the King of Pop himself, Michael Jackson.
Own both of them.
Off-limit songs for these two are Enter Sandman. You probably already knew that was coming.
I know.
And Black and White.
Also.
So same, the obvious one. Same drill, Rob.
All right.
Give us the album. Is it the one you wanted? Tell us your song. Play us your song.
Well, I would have taken either one of these.
Oh, okay.
I liked them.
Good.
I owned them both. Michael, nice. I got Michael Jackson.
Nice.
And so from that album, I picked.
Ah, really good.
Some other choices could have been Remember the Time. Well, this is
Remember the Time.
Jam.
Good.
And Heal the World.
Yeah.
Those are kind of the biggies that came up. And Black and White.
Had I gotten Michael, I would have also had this as my selection.
Oh, good.
So far we're thinking along the same lines.
This is Michael Jackson, released in 92, it was written and composed by Teddy Riley.
I know Michael Teddy Jackson. Riley.
Yep. It was produced, the song's lyrics are written about remembering having fallen in love with someone, obviously, Remember the Time.
Yeah.
Peaked at number 3, it is certified 3 times platinum. They had a 9-minute music video. This is what I remember about it, because it would be on in the morning as I was getting ready for school.
Good one.
And there'd be this it had a video that went with it that was basically a short film.
Yes.
And it was set in ancient Egypt, and it had Eddie Murphy, Iman, Tommy Lister,
I believe
Magic
it's
Johnson.
Iman.
There you go. Yeah. She was the queen or whatever.
Yes.
The music video, along with other videos from Dangerous, was frequently on MTV all the time. And it won a Soul Train Music Award for Best R&B Soul Single in 93.
Really good.
Yeah. I love it. I like this whole album.
That's
really
good. See, we got one for you. All right. Score.
A little trivia for it. Together, Joe and Catherine. Oh, this is putting you on the spot.
Oh, my goodness.
Joe and Catherine Jackson had 10 children.
Mm.
Their son, Brandon, died shortly after birth.
Yes.
They're 9. The other 9 grew up to become professional musicians, among other professions. How many of them can you name?
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, we got Tito.
Yep.
Yeah, Jermaine.
Who his real name? What is his real name? Jermaine LaJuan Jackson.
I believe there was a Joe Jr.
There is a Joe Jr.
Yeah.
I don't see a Joe Jr.
Okay. Then you got LaToya. Then you got LaToya. Janet.
Yeah. Janet. Good job.
And that's it. I watched the miniseries on TV, they just always had the guy playing Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
He yelled at Tito a lot. Tito. So I always remember Tito.
Yeah. Yeah. There's Rebby.
I don't know that.
There was Jackie.
Nope.
There was, you got Jermaine. There was a Marlin.
Oh, Marlin.
Yeah. There was Michael, obviously.
Yeah.
And then there was Randy.
Oh.
And Janet.
Yeah, Randy Jackson, like the judge on American Idol.
Okay. Not related.
But it's Randy Jackson.
So there you go.
Yeah. Okay. I like
that. And then just a question for you. Do you suppose if Michael Jackson was still alive in today's climate, he'd use the gender pronouns he?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
He was already saying them.
Yeah. So there you go.
He put the right emphasis on them, though.
There you go.
So
there you go.
I read that Jackson spent $10 million recording that album.
Yeah, I could see that.
Originally recorded between 60 and 70 songs.
Yeah.
Wanted to release it, and the studio told him, no, you have to get it down to a normal amount of songs. So
yeah, I remember I bought that CD at Kmart.
Beautiful.
On McLaughlin.
That's great.
Kmart way out on McLaughlin.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, all right. So you've got. Right,
I got Metallica. I get the Black Album, also known as Metallica. I went with a song. Look, you can just throw a dart and hit a song because they're all great, again, on this album. I know it front to back. I can't do Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
And again, Enter Sandman, probably not my favorite anyway, just like Facelift. So this is, if not my favorite, second favorite, I'd have to debate, but I really like this one.
And there's some good choices on here.
Yep. So we're going to go with.
Ooh. wherever I may roam.
Ooh, yes. It's a really good one.
This had a good video, too.
I think it's better than Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
I like that guitar riff. Gets me pumped. Mm-hmm. It's vibin', Rob.
Ugh, vibin'.
To throw back to one of our other shows, vibin'. So this is Wherever I May Roam by Metallica. This song was not a chart success in the U.S., only reaching number 82. So apparently I liked it more than a lot of other people.
I remember it being on a lot, though.
Yeah, it did hit number 2 in Denmark, Finland, and Norway, and number 8 in New Zealand. So good for all of them. Most people would see this as the 4th or 5th best song on the album, but I think it rocks, and it's probably one of my favorite songs. So album was released August 12, 1991, spent 4 consecutive weeks at number 1 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It was number 1 in Australia, Germany, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, Switzerland, the U.K., top 10 in 12 other countries, so it was a juggernaut. By far, Metallica's most successful commercial album. It was certified platinum in the U.S. 16 times. That's crazy. That's over 16 million copies sold. 13 times platinum in Australia, 10 times platinum in New Zealand. So that's a lot. Crazy. The album won a Grammy in 1992 for Best Metal Performance with Vocals. Enter Sandman was also nominated for Best Rock Song, but lost to, again, the Emmys off their noodle, Sting. So, not happy about that. The album
was, they lost the Sting.
Yeah, the album was produced by,
was that 10 Sumner's Tales?
I don't know. It's probably Fields of Gold or something stupid like that. Yeah. The album was produced by Bob Rock, who also works with
killer name.
Motley Crue, Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, 311, The Offspring, and the hard rock and Michael Bublé. So he lived up to his name, Bob Rock.
Bob Rock.
He was destined from like a baby that was going to be what he does. Just make rock music and Michael Bublé.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's an outlier there. I'll let people decide what one it is.
I like Michael Bublé though, so I won't be upset. His Christmas
you
album.
You do? Oh, it's Christmas album.
Yeah, Christmas album. Yeah, Chef's Kiss.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
There you go.
Okay. After original guitarist Dave Mustaine was kicked out of the Metallica.
Come on. You can do
it. Wow. He went on to form a metal band. Come what on. Is the band's name?
Megadeth.
Megadeth.
Come on, Rob.
Excellent. Nice job. Interesting. Dave Mustaine was fired.
Yes.
For his drug and alcohol abuse and violent behavior.
Uh-huh.
What was that conversation like? Like,
you got to go. In fact, they said what the conversation was. They literally woke him up one morning, handed him a bus ticket back to California and said, you're out of here.
That was so the other guys were good.
Yeah, they're good.
Like their level of drinking wasn't as bad as his.
It was not. And he was an angry, he was a really angry drunk and they were all just party drunks.
Oh, okay.
And so he would get angry and it didn't work.
And I also put in my notes here, Metallica should open up a chain of mattress discount stores and name it Nothing Else Mattress.
Ah, that sucks. But good job for you. I don't like mattress stores with stupid names. The Lumbar Yard or any of those kinds of
things. So,
all right. Well, we're headed to 92. Got some fun all-time albums here. We start with one of the best.
Also had both of these.
One of the best ever. Yeah. Core by Stone Temple Pilots. Mm-hmm. And the Bodyguard soundtrack from the movie of the same name.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Your favorite actor.
Songs that are off limits are Plush. Mm-hmm. Easy answer. And you know the other one, Rob. What's off limits?
We cannot use I Will Always Love You.
Everyone would have known that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you got the album you wanted and you get to play us what you want.
I did get the album I wanted.
Oh, which means
I got.
I'm upset. Yeah, I know. Really good.
And I'm going to let this play out.
Yeah.
I want to get beginning. Right when it hits the.
Yeah. When the music comes in, it's great. Oh, yeah.
So good.
Yep. One of the best openings to a song you can listen to.
Yeah. I love it.
I'm a little disappointed because I know you really wanted to play my STP song and it was not that one.
No.
I have a better song.
Yeah. So you had a lot of choices. I have a whole bunch here. We'll talk about that here in a minute.
It's the whole album.
This is American rock band Stone Temple Pilots. Never received a commercial single for this song, this particular song. It's a favorite among the band's fans. Vocalist Scott Weiland has stated that it's not really about anything. It's just a stream of consciousness words.
I saw that as well.
I mean, at the age of 21 or 22, I didn't have a whole lot of life experience, so it's more about the vibe, the angst, and the kind of a thing as opposed to actual life experiences. I don't know what any of that means, but whatever. A little trivia for her. What were the Stone Temple Pilots originally called? A, the Warlocks, B, the Obelisk, C, Masters of Mayhem, or D, Mighty Joe Young?
I just want to say Obelisk, so I'm going to go with that. Okay.
Yeah, the answer is actually Mighty Joe Young.
Obelisk.
After forming in 1989 under the name Mighty Joe Young, the band signed with Atlantic Records and changed its name to Stone Temple Pilots.
The Obelisk would have been awesome.
I know. It is actually, if I have a band, I'm going to add that to my made-up band names.
I'm a little disappointed.
What did you pick?
My song was superior to yours.
Which one?
I would have gone with Sex Type Thing.
Oh, that was next on my list.
Oh, it's so good. I really love that song.
Dead and Bloated, Sex Type Thing, Wicked Garden, Creep, Plush, there's Off Limits, Cracker Man, and Where the River Goes. Those are all the ones
that I could do them all.
I kind of went back and
forth. Cracker Man's deep in the album, and it's really good.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I'm over at the Bodyguard soundtrack, which I'm a little disappointed because I love Core, but I do like the Bodyguard soundtrack, and I do like Whitney Houston. And we know how much we love Kevin Costner here, so it makes me feel good to get to highlight something he was in. And I'm going to play It's a Whitney Houston Song. I went with the big swooping.
Is this Run to You? No.
Oh, no.
I had this. Got it for Christmas one year.
She's hitting some notes on this one. Here comes. You'll know when you hear this part. Here we go.
But she brings it down.
Yeah. I actually like this part right here. Good.
So good. Yep.
I think I could do that.
You could.
I'm doing pretty good.
I think, yeah. Sound just like her.
All right. This is Whitney Houston with I Have Nothing. So this song hit number 4, U.S. Hot 100, number 1 on the U.S. Adult Contemporary Charts. I like the Adult Contemporary Charts, and I was not an adult, but they always had a lot of good music on it. Cashbox Charts, also number 1, hit number 1 in Canada, number 3 in the U.K., only mild success everywhere else in the world, probably got overshadowed by I Will Always Love You. This song received Oscar, Grammy, and American Music Award nominations. Sadly, she lost to Aladdin at the Oscars and the Grammys, but no shame, Whitney, in losing to Peebo. That's okay.
Oh,
you do good on that. So there were almost not lose to a better person. So that's right. The album went to number 1 on every chart I saw.
He's on your text. You got a text going with him and JT.
He said he'd be paying attention this week because I told him he'd be back on the show.
Good, so it's like two Peebos are better than one.
It's like his fifth time this year coming up on this program. So let's see.
Weird Al.
Yeah. The album went number 1 on every chart. The album went number 1 on every chart I saw, to include US, Australia, and then you name it in England, in Europe, it was number 1. This soundtrack is certified 18 times platinum in the US. That's crazy. And multi-platinum in several other countries. Soundtrack won a Grammy for Album of the Year, fittingly, and is the best-selling soundtrack of all time, as well as being the best-selling album by a woman of all time.
Oh, so wow.
There you go.
My selection was not going to be a Whitney Houston song.
Ew.
It was going to be, It's Going to Be a Lovely Day by Soul System.
Oh, I like that song. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. A little trivia for you. In the movie, The Bodyguard, you may have recognized Rachel. That's Houston's character.
Oh, yes.
You might have recognized her mansion. It's the same lavish estate used in what 1972 classic movie?
Oh. No choices here, right?
No
choices.
It's
going to make me remember.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of movies from 1972. We'll go with The Godfather.
Excellent.
Nice job. In this movie, this was the home of movie mogul Jack Waltz, the guy who wakes up to find the horse's head in his bed.
Oh,
there you go.
There you go.
In my research, I learned that Whitney Houston essentially wanted to she essentially wanted 3 things. Okay. 1, she wanted to dance with somebody.
She did.
2, feel the heat with somebody.
Okay.
And 3, cocaine.
You just wanted to get that all out there, didn't you?
Yeah.
Good research, by the way.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, those are 2 great albums, 2 great songs. That takes us to 1993.
All right.
What a year. And I've chosen a couple of big bands. We've got Smashing Pumpkins with Siamese Dream and one of my favorite Swedish pop bands.
Oh, good. Then this is going to go the way you want it to.
Ace of Base with The Sign.
Yeah.
Off-limit songs for these two are Disarm from The Pumpkins and The Sign of the same name as the album from our friends at Ace of Base. So, Rob, enlighten us on your choices.
All right. Well, I selected Smashing Pumpkins.
Of course you did.
Yes. And
well, you're getting all the ones
I know.
You want.
Aren't I
you?
Did get some good picks, but you love Ace of Base. I was glad not to get it.
I do like
Ace of Base. The song I picked is
Oh, good.
I just, the flow of this song is, I can remember making mixtapes from the CD, and this one was one of the ones I would always pull off.
So since we're on the YouTube, I had to scratch my nose. Something flew into my nose. Oh. So for our folks at home watching, I'm not picking my nose per se. Something ran up there, and I was trying to get it out of there because I don't want to sneeze on camera. Oh, so, that's funny. But please take us back to the Pumpkins.
Hey, that's all right. No, so this is Smashing Pumpkins from Siamese Dream, but it's a song called Hummer.
Hummer.
This album was released in July of 93. It's certified four times platinum. It's considered one of the finest alternative rock albums, widely regarded as one of the greatest albums of the 90s and of all times. Rolling Stone magazine has ranked it on various versions of their 500 greatest albums of all time list. The song struggles to find, it's about struggling to find true joy and satisfaction in life, of being consistently searching for something meaningful. The underlying message is clear: to not be satisfied with the passing moments of happiness, but to seek true joy and satisfaction. It seems like a Billy Corgan thing. For you. Billy Corgan once dated which female grunge icon?
Courtney Love.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, you knew that. Yeah. Corgan briefly dated Courtney Love in the early 90s before she began her relationship with Kurt Cobain, but they've remained close, and he actually lived with Love in her Hollywood mansion in 2006.
Ooh, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for her for still having a mansion.
Yeah.
I figured she would have blown all her money by now.
I know, right?
So, all right, Rob.
Yeah.
You took Pumpkins. Oh, you want to know what I would have had?
Yeah, what would you have
had? I would have gone with Cherub Rock.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And then my second choice after that, Cherub Rock, and then Mayonnaise was mayonnaise on the border as well.
Rocket and Today were also in there, too.
Yeah, so. Those are good also.
And I also have my nose there. I once won a pumpkin carving contest in elementary school.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How many people were in that contest?
I don't remember.
I won an ice cream eating contest up at the King Road grocery store. And I got a year of free ice cream from the grocery store. So
No, I actually carved out the pumpkin. I screwed up what I wanted to do. So then I took a coffee can, wrapped it in felt, stuck it in the hole in the side of the pumpkin, put a little wick on it, looked like a and put TNT on it, looked like a pumpkin with it, and I won. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I had something
one
for
one might say it was a hollow victory.
No one would actually say that, but your craziness would tell us that you would say that. So, hey, one thing I had about the Pumpkins there was that album, obviously nominated for a Grammy for Best Alternative Music Performance. And guess who they lost to? Because, again, the Grammys are psychotic.
I'm going
to
go with Sting.
You too, in the alternative category. So, yuck.
Yeah.
Again,
I will go on record and saying I'm not a YouTube fan.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
And so far, they're over three, the Grammys and what we're doing here. So, all right, Rob, you took the Pumpkins. So I got techno Swedish pop. I love it. I really like Ace of Base. Second favorite Swedish group behind?
ABBA.
Rock set, Rob. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Give it the times here. So I'm going to say this was the first Ace of Base song I actually ever heard. I'm just going to play it.
Not what I picked. I wouldn't have picked that one.
I love this. This is the first song I heard from them.
I remember you liking this a lot.
Hey. Who wouldn't like it? It's got a great pop beat to it. It's a good song. Great. The singer's really good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if you say so.
Well, I do say so.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that song.
What is that? What instrument is that?
I think it's a slide whistle.
Oh, I was going to say.
I'm just kidding. No, I have no idea what it is.
We're going to come back to that. Because I think I know what it is.
Well, this is a reggae pop song about a sexually promiscuous woman.
Oh.
It hit number two on the U.S. Hot 100, but number one in 12 other countries. Very popular. Album was a huge success, being listed as one of the top 100 best-selling albums of all time by the Recording Industry of America. It was nominated for a Grammy for Best Pop Album. The album was ranked top three on the U.S. Billboard 200 for 26 consecutive weeks. The single and the album are the only ones by a Swedish act to be ranked number one on Billboard's overall year-end lists.
Wow. Rob,
only one to do that. Why this? I'll tell you why this song is, I remember the song a lot. So when this song came out, there was a girl that I liked. She was in one of my classes.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple times I got a ride home with her after school. And I swear every time we got in the car, this song was playing. So I don't know if she liked it or if the radio just had this going. and it was just fortuitous.
So it brings back good memories.
All that to be said, yep. Never went out with her. There was nothing good ever came from that other than...
you got a ride.
I think I got a hug once and a couple rides. And that was. I think she got a boyfriend shortly after that, and that was the end of the gravy train.
Yeah. So. Well, that goes back to our...
That was it.
Top five list at the beginning.
Top five list.
Girls
were two. We was the girls.
We liked them.
That's okay. I had
it the wasn't reciprocated.
Swimsuit edition at home.
That's all we needed.
So the demons left the building. I exercised the demons.
and we had our poo butter.
Could I do that? This house is clean after that.
Yeah,
this
house is clean. That's funny. All we needed was
oh man,
little poo butter and the Sports Illustrated.
You can visualize the exercise.
That's the demons. Oh boy. Oh boy.
Knocking on the bathroom right. door. What are you doing in there?
I'm exercising the demons. Oh.
All right.
Well, that's unfortunate. That takes us to. Oh, hey, a little true. Oh, I was going to tell you. My choice would have been Don't Turn Around.
Yeah, it's a good one, too.
And in my notes, I said it features a pan flute solo.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we don't have very many pan flutes.
I like a good solo on an instrument not normally used
I know. All the time. You like the odd solos.
I do love odd solos.
A little true or false, the group's debut album, Happy Nation, The Sign,
yes,
was listed in the 1995 edition of Guinness Book World Records as the largest selling debut album of all time.
True.
That is true.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the album was certified diamond, 10 million sales within a year of its release, as of 2008, has sold over 23 million copies. That's crazy.
All right. Well, anyway, 1994.
What were our choices?
Two spectacular albums.
Yeah, I want to talk about
this. But I'm really hoping that I got one. And
you're going to get one.
My luck, the way that I'm going, it's probably not going to land that way.
I don't think you're going to
get one. I'll be happy with both. So we've got Beastie Boys with Ill Communication, mm-hmm. which is... so awesome.
Yeah.
Also, we have Ready to Die by Notorious B.I.G. Also, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'll hate the off-limits songs here, but No Sabotage mm-hmm. and No Big Papa. Mm-hmm. So, without those, which band did you get, Rob? Well, and play us your song.
I drew Beastie Boys.
Oh.
I know. But you're going to... Here, and I'll say why in a minute. Okay.
You're not going to play my song. I love Root Down. Great. Not the song I chose.
Gonna kick it real down.
This whole album's immaculate, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. When you talk about from a production value, this album is one of my... I put my root down.
I love that song. I think if there was ever an album, for us hetero life mates here, that was our album, this is our album.
I think so. I have.
We probably listened to this album together more than any other album we've ever listened to together.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Oh, that's 100% facts.
I remember cruising around. I think we've told this story in your Tercel.
Yes.
I can tell you where we were on the freeway. It was raining. It was a Monday because we're going to somebody's house to watch Monday Night Football. And this was playing.
Yes.
And you were driving exceedingly fast.
We had to get
down
there.
205. And this was playing.
Exceedingly fast.
But there's what song is it where he goes, if this is going to be that kind of party.
That's Sure Shot.
Yeah. And
I love Sure Shot.
I hear that in my head a lot.
The mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
where he goes, I hear it all the time.
Give me that kind of part. I'm going to take my digging mashed potatoes. I hear it in my head.
Funny story about that real quick. We were driving back from visiting my son last weekend in college from mm-hmm. Pullman, and we were listening to 60 Songs That Explain the 90s, mm-hmm. and he was doing the Beastie Boys Sabotage, mm-hmm. but he played Sure Shot, and he said, I'm going to play a part of Sure Shot. He goes, it's the part that everybody knows. He goes, I'm just going to play it. My wife had never heard it.
Oh.
And she just did not find it as funny as I do, but I find it hilarious.
Yeah, I love it.
So,
a little trivia for you. What was the name of Ad Rock's band prior to joining the Beastie Boys?
Oh,
A, Even Worse. Tough. B, Young Aborigines. C, Young and the Useless. Or D, Angry Samoans.
I'll go with C.
Excellent.
Nice job. Nice. Good guess. Adam Horwitz, King Ad-Rock, played in the Young and the Useless until replacing John Barry in the Beastie Boys. So there's somebody out there who was in the Beastie Boys. He was, he has the claim of, I was a Beastie Boy.
Good replacement.
Yeah. In my research, I read that the Beastie Boys are releasing a new documentary to Netflix.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There's a really good documentary already on Apple TV that you should watch.
Yeah. That's really the 5-part series will release parts A through D this winter. Upon completion, viewers are required to fight for their right to part E.
Ooh, nice.
Like that one?
Well, I am super excited for that. Yeah. Okay. you should have listened to it.
I should have.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I did not.
Do you know what Beastie Boys song I would have gone with?
Oh, what would you have gone with?
The song.
Sure Shot?
Nope. Get It Together featuring Q-Tip, my friend. Yep. That is the song. Outside of Sabotage, that's the song.
Yeah. I love that song. Yeah. Get It Together. Say what's happening.
All right. So I have, as you just said, one of the largest, best albums of maybe not the 90s, maybe all time. And I don't think I'm being facetious there. So it's Notorious B.I.G. And the song I've chosen is... There may be some lyrics in here that are offensive. So if you have children, leave the room.
This is One More Chance.
One More Chance. So this...
Is that Faith?
Oh, it is.
You didn't know.
Oh, so good. So this song is like seminal memory. When I was in Japan, when I first got over there, this would play in when they had the R&B side of the club. This and Big Papa would play every Friday night. And they would play this. People get out there, do a little grinding. You ever do a little grinding, Rob? A little grinding.
No. Yeah. What'd you call it? You were a club rat.
Club rat.
That's right. I was not a club rat.
Have the glow sticks? No. No, that's a different kind of club. All right. So this song includes, it's One More Chance. Notorious B.I.G. This song includes vocals by his wife, Faith Evans, and an uncredited appearance by Mary J. Blige. This song was certified platinum, selling over 1.1 million copies and hit number 2 on the US Hot 100 chart, number 1 on the hip hop and rap charts, number 7 in Canada, only 92 in Scotland. So they're not giving Biggie any more chances. I don't know what's going on over there. The album itself is an absolute juggernaut. Certified 6 times platinum in the US, was the debut album for Biggie. Hit number 15 on the U.S. Hot 200, was nominated for a Grammy for Best Solo Rap Artist. Unfortunately, he lost to Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise. I don't know if that's a better song. I like that song, but I would think Notorious B.I.G. is better. Other accolades include Rolling Stone ranking at 22 on the 500 greatest albums of all time. Rolling Stone also placed it at number 8 on the 100 best albums of the 90s. Blender had it as one of the 50 CDs you must own before you die.
Yep.
Entertainment Weekly said it was one of the best 100 albums from 1983 to 2008. And Pitchfork, who you love, rated it as one of the best 100 albums of the 1990s. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, before recording this album in New York, Biggie was living in North Carolina selling drugs.
Yeah.
And then he moved to New York.
And that's what I kind of liked about it. Not that he's selling drugs, but that it tells a story.
Yes.
And I thought that was a really... clever.
The other song I was really close to, it was a flip between these two, was Juicy.
Oh.
And Juicy was the other one that I really like a lot.
Yeah.
I went with One More Chance.
I would have gone with one that wasn't one of the top ones. It was called, it's the title track, Ready to Die.
Yeah, that's a good one
and
too.
There's a lyric in there. It says, when I hit you, I split you to the white meat.
You almost,
I love it.
Yeah, almost can't go wrong on that album.
You swung a left, you swung a right, you fell to the concrete. Your face, my feet, they meet with stomping. I'm ripping MCs from Tallahassee to Compton.
Nice.
He was a good lyricist.
He was.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I'm still a Tupac guy, but B.I.G.'s in the top 5 for me.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
What are we at? 95? Well,
halfway through the decade, 1995. Rob, we're cruising along. Mm-hmm. Albums chosen here. Sparkle and Fade by Everclear. Really good album.
Yeah, that is a good album.
Had a huge 95. And The Foo Fighters by Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Songs you couldn't select here are Santa Monica from Everclear and Big Me from Foo Fighters.
Okay.
People who are listening at home, that was the Mentos style video for Big Me. So tell us what you got, Rob.
Well, I got Foo Fighters.
Oh, of course.
But I would have wanted Everclear.
So,
here we go.
I wonder if you like my Everclear song then. Ah, yes. This is a song I also would have chosen.
Yes.
Fantastic.
This is All Stick Around.
Oh, so good. You know, I don't throw genius around a lot, but Dave Kroll's pretty much a genius.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Because I think that I learned in here. So this is from the Foo Fighters debut album, released July of 95. Dave Grohl wrote and recorded that entire album himself.
Correct.
I did not know that. In Seattle in 94, he said that he recorded the album just for fun, describing it as a cathartic experience to recover from the suicide of Nirvana bandmate Kurt Cobain. After Grohl completed the recordings, he chose the name Foo Fighters for the project to hide his identity. He passed cassette copies of the sessions to personal friends. When the tapes attracted record label interest, Grohl signed with Capitol, and the rest is history.
So, history.
The song, I did not know this as well. People used to think it was about Kurt Cobain.
No, it's about Courtney Love.
It is. And he actually says, Dave Grohl was quoted as saying, quote, "I don't think it's any secret that I'll stick around is about Courtney. I've denied it for 15 years, but I'm finally coming out and saying it. Just read the fucking words."
That's right.
That's what he said.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah. And they stayed at odds for a while, and then they made up in 2014 when they're at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But yeah. The other thing I found, I thought this was interesting. The song marked a turning point for Dave Grohl in that it was the first song he worked on that he really liked the first time he heard it when he mixed the play, you know, he played the mixed back. He's quoted in a book as saying, "I actually had an anxiety attack because I finally realized that this was good, whereas everything else I recorded over the previous 6 years I thought was crap." And I just think from that creative, I can kind of relate. Like, I don't always want to listen to our stuff because I'm like, I'm afraid it'll
be. Well, relative to this, Rob, you, I, and the movie Hound himself, we have tickets in August to see the Foo Fighters.
That's
and
gonna be good.
We're going to then do a pod after that, and we'll do some Foo Fighters music. Yeah. And we'll talk about a couple of almost 50-year-old guys hanging out at a rock concert.
I love it.
That should be great.
We'll stay up past our bedtime.
That's great.
Yeah. Trivia. In the Everlong music video, what does it say on Taylor's sweater?
Everlong.
It's a different video.
Gotcha.
A, save the dolphins. B, save the birds. C, save the fish. Or D, save the whales.
I'll go with whales.
Ah, good job. And then have you ever seen Rick Astley's cover of Everlong?
I saw it on YouTube.
It's not bad.
It's okay.
One might say he's never going to give Foo up.
No. You are
throwing
fireballs today. All right. Well, I got Everclear, and I'm not sad about it. I love the Foo Fighters, but I absolutely loved
this album. This is really
CD
good.
When this came out, I loved the CD. I listened to it all the time. No Santa Monica. That's okay because my song is called You Make Me Feel Like a Whore.
Ooh. Yeah. Yep. Love it.
Oh, yeah. It's really good.
You make me feel like a whore. Love it.
That's a great, great song.
I was dating a gal in high school at this time, and she actually had pale green stars on her ceiling.
Oh,
yeah. And that, I'm glad she told, that
story went there. I thought you were going to be like, and I thought
it's
about
the same
her.
Girl.
Her with this song.
It's the same. Well, no, it's the same girl. No. Yeah, I dated a girl once.
That's good.
Yeah.
So
she
all
made
right.
me feel like a whore.
As I said, anyway. This is You Make Me Feel Like a Whore by Everclear. Great song title, by the way. Won't be liked by everyone. I feel the darts of cold stares from your wife already.
Why?
Your wife.
Oh,
this isn't always like when we use the explicit language.
I will also we'll apologize ahead of time to the Humphreys girls, some friends, and her kids listen to the show. So
yeah,
but
it's the name of the song. I can't help it. This was the fourth and final single released off the album in 1996. Actually, it came out even though the album came out in 95. I could not find that this song charted anywhere. I really couldn't find it. Mainstream rock, alternative, nothing. It got released as a single, just didn't chart. Mm-hmm. So this really meets today's topic of non-popular song off a great album. Although I'm sure many Everclear fans like the song Everclear. That's not a word. Whatever. Everclear.
Yeah.
Sorry to Alex on that. So if he's listening.
I'll try to say
The album hit number 25 in the U.S. Billboard 200, number 9 in Australia, certified platinum in the U.S., Canada, and Australia, received 4 out of 5-star review from Rolling Stone magazine. That's pretty good. This was their first album released on Capitol Records, but their second overall. Their first album, you're going to like this, Rob, was released by a Portland, Oregon-based label, Tim Kerr Records. So the Pacific Northwest ties are apparent. Mm-hmm. One of the reviews I read by a critic stated about the album, it was an unexpected gem. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to tell you, when I was in Japan, I had a 3-disc changer CD with the detachable speakers because I was a baller.
Mm-hmm.
And it was above my bed.
Mm-hmm.
I put the speakers on the wall because I was really, you know, a high roller at that point. I had 3 CDs in that thing at all time for like 6 months at least. It was All Eyes on Me from Tupac, mm-hmm. Disc One, No Doubt's Tragic Kingdom, mm-hmm. and this, Everclear, yep. Sparkling Fade. Mm-hmm. Listen to them almost every day.
No, this is, I have the original, the CD that I bought back in the day. I love it.
Yeah, such a good CD.
What was I going to tell you about that? Oh, the line in, what's the, Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
Where he says, my big black boots and an old suitcase. Like the was really good.
Really good.
I also remember on the CD cover, what I think it's the guitarist.
Yeah.
Bassist. Anyway, maybe this is a drummer. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's wearing a Portland Winterhawks jersey.
He is. Yeah.
So I always thought Portland that was ties. Really cool.
Yeah. That was really All right. Cool. That takes us to 96, the great year of your graduation of high school.
Yes.
And becoming a man.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, this pick sucked.
So that means I already know.
Say the choices.
Okay. So I know for sure, as folks at home, I wrote this, so I'm going to read it now. I know for sure this one is not your favorite, but its popularity and impact on pop culture cannot be denied.
No.
The other album I know you thought and probably still think is pretty cool.
It is.
I'll let the listeners figure out which is which. So we've got the Presidents of the United States of America with their mm-hmm. self-titled album and the Spice Girls with Spice, right? Off-limit songs are Wannabe from the Spice Girls,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh. and Peaches from Presidents
mm-hmm.
of the United States of America. So your disdain tells me you drew the Spice Girls. So take us through what that's going to be.
Well,
that's the song I would have picked, and I love this song.
You can't.
I love it. You will not get me to change that answer. I like this song a lot. You
love this song.
I love it.
It's really dumb. And when I learn,
I need some love like I never needed love before.
No. Okay.
Hey, if it's good enough for David Beckham, it's good enough for me. No. All right. That is a great song.
Okay. Well, and I will tell you, you really only had three choices. Because the rest of the song, I didn't know any of them.
Spice Girls.
So you had Wannabe.
There were more choices.
And then you had Say You'll Be There.
Good one.
And To Become One.
To Become One.
And this is the only one I could even remember.
No, you picked the right one.
So this is Spice Girls, released in July of 97, written by the group members during their group's first professional songwriting session. I bet that was just a meeting of the minds there.
They were really good. They took over the world, Rob. I think you're underselling this a little. They took over the world.
Well, I
whether
will get to
you
that.
Like yes. them or not.
Considered an R&B influenced pop ballad.
Yes.
The lyrics focused on the bonding of two lovers and also addresses the importance of contraception.
Very good.
With
the, yeah, there's with a lyric, the lyric that says
be a little wiser, baby. Put it on.
Put it on.
Put
they
it
say
on. It,
they say it twice.
Because tonight is the night when two become one.
It's very romantic. I don't know. You know, this is borderline.
Booty I knew jam? You were going to say that.
It's borderline booty jam.
It's borderline crap. Anyway, chart performance peaked at number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100. Peaked at number 4.
Yeah.
It's gold certified. The song was named Song of the Year at the 1998 ASCAP London Music Awards.
That's fantastic.
Trivia, the Spice Girls had a different name when they first started out. What was the name?
It was Touch.
A, Feel.
Touch. It was Touch. Excellent. I do my research. I was a Spice Girl fan. Yeah.
And they had, and then they were going to be called, there was a name,
come on,
something with it. A rapper,
right.
Spice One. Anyway, I put over here, I said, what does a beer bottle and a Spice Girl have in common?
Oh,
they are both empty from the neck up. There you go. Oh,
that's not very nice.
Yep.
Wah, wah. We should have that button because that's not very nice.
What are you talking about?
All right. Well, I still like that song. In fact, if the wife's lucky, I'll put that on tonight when I get home.
Oh, gosh. Come on.
All right. Well, I got the Presidents of the United States.
We used to be a family-friendly show.
So we come home and throw that on in the bedroom. We'll see what she says.
Oh, come on.
I think that'll be it.
Stop.
That's not going to be a good conversation.
Laurel, I'm sorry.
All right.
You're going to hear this eventually.
Everyone knows about Peaches for this song. Self-titled album, but I'm going with what I think is the most fun song on the album.
I hope it's the one I picked.
About a feline.
Oh. I didn't go with Kitty.
I love Kitty.
What could he be talking about?
He's literally talking about a cat. I researched it. You think it's an innuendo? It's not. Here it comes.
Meow,
my favorite part.
Meow, 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 meow. Love it.
Wait. There we go.
Yep.
Oh, that's good. Who doesn't put that on and jam to it? That's great. All right. This is Kitty.
I wanted that one.
By the President of the United States of America. This is the first song on the album, and it's fun, as I said. Hit number 13 on the Billboard Modern Rock charts. Is about a feral cat the singer lets into his house. And this was, he said, autobiographical. Mm-hmm. He let a feral cat into his house, tried to pet it. When he tried to pet it, it scratched him, so he threw it back outside.
Oh, my gosh.
So, easy concept for a song. Okay. This may not be the most popular cat song of the 90s, as that crown may go to Phoebe on Friends with Smelly Cat, but it's at least a close second. All right. Do you know Smelly Cat, Rob?
I do.
Okay. So Smelly Cat probably is the most popular cat song in the 90s, but Kitty's going to be right there. The album was the band's debut studio effort, hit number 6 on the US Billboard 200, number 3 in Australia, 5 in Canada, 3 in New Zealand, certified 3 times platinum in the US, 4 times platinum in both Australia and Canada. The album received Grammy nominations in 95 and 96 and was the band's most successful effort. The two members that formed the band met in Seattle in the 80s while going to school. And they're considered a post-grunge pop-punk band. All I know is I listened to this nonstop in 1996, and I thought it was so creative, fun, and different than all the other albums I heard out there at that time. So
I was going to pick Lump.
Well, yeah, Lump. Yep, that would have been another good choice.
Little trivia for you.
Oh.
You probably know this one. The Presidents also collaborated with a prominent rapper and Seattle native to form what short-lived rock and hip-hop band? Was it Macklemore, B, Sir Mix-a-Lot, C, Emerald Street Boys, or D, E-Dawg?
I'm going with Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Ooh, nice job. Yeah.
Buttermilk Biscuits.
The band was actually called Subset.
Ooh.
And it was a collaboration between Seattle rapper Sir Mix-a-Lot and the President of the United States of America. They played several showcase gigs in Seattle and also recorded approximately one album's worth of material over 1999. And they went on a little bit of a tour.
Nice.
I put it down here. June 3rd. 2000, Ellensburg, Washington.
Very good.
A little concert called Gust Fest. I was there. I saw them play.
Wow.
Nice. I saw Sir Mix right in downtown Ellensburg.
Did they do Buttermilk Biscuits?
I don't remember what they did. I love
that song.
Yeah, they had their own sound. It was kind of cool.
Buttermilk Biscuits.
Yeah, but it was President of the United States and Sir Mix saw on the stage together.
All right.
Bam. Anyway.
96, solid. Two become one. Kitty, very good. Couldn't go wrong there.
Safe sex.
Playlist is on fire, by the way. All right. So, 97, big year, couple of big albums. We've got Puff Daddy's.
Yeah, I got the one I wanted.
Puff Daddy's No Way Out and Third Eye Blind's self-titled Third Eye Blind. Songs to Avoid Here, I'll Be Missing You from old Puff Daddy and Semi-Charmed Kind of Life from Third Eye Blind. That's so, give us what you got, Rob.
You got me mid-sip. Again,
mid-sip.
All the time. Third Eye Blind. Oh,
look at you.
Yeah. And so here we go.
All right. You get all the fun ones.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not the one people probably would have gotten.
Not one of their highest charting ones.
Nope.
But a good song. I know this whole album.
Too. Yeah. This, I wrote whole album next to it.
It's really good. I was going to go with How's It Going to Be?
Yeah.
I really like that one.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. Yeah,
really good.
So yeah, this is the background. So about the album, it entered the Billboard album charts at number 135. It peaked at 25, spent a total of 106 weeks on the chart. It's certified 6 times platinum. About the song, lead singer Stephen Jenkins is quoted as saying, "Let me put it this way. Have you ever felt like your life was in high gear and you were right in the moment and you were happy and rolling into some glorious unknown future and then have that all taken away and then lived in sort of this post period of that high? That's what it's like to live in the background." So take that for what it's worth.
Nice.
When you have all, let's see, it's a beautiful song I put. A little trivia for you. The second song on the original album is titled Narcolepsy. This refers to a condition. This condition makes the patient do what?
Fall asleep.
Good
there
job.
You go.
Excellent.
Come on. I think a lot of people know narcolepsy means sleep.
Well, so that's I kind of get it mixed up with necrophilia.
Those are two very should not different. Mix those up at all. Those are way different. I can imagine you at one of those teacher parties. You know, my uncle, he's diagnosed with necrophilia. No one talks to you the rest of the night. And then you tell your wife, he just falls asleep a lot. I don't know why everybody's so upset about it. No,
necrophilia is really acting up again.
He has sex with dead people. Okay, so that means I got Puff Daddy, which is great. I wore this album out. We used to listen to when I came home.
Also, another album that was not drove. Common. Yeah.
Well, a couple times, though. Yeah. I had it in the car when we were driving to play some B-ball.
It's got a lot of songs on it that everybody knows, though. Yes. Like, it's got some
big ones,
very culturally relevant songs.
So, I've got that he popped out from behind the producing game and just jumping on other people's songs to produce his own album.
What is he going as now? Is it P. Diddy?
I don't even
Puff
know
Daddy?
Anymore. Yeah.
Puff?
Puffy? I can't choose the tribute to Biggie here from the album No Way Out, so I will go with the third track.
Ooh.
Features my boy Mace. I don't like player haters. Player haters, stay away. Uh-oh. Those are some lyrics there. Is it our ladies or because we drive Mercedes?
I love it.
That's what we're going with. All right. This has Been Around the World featuring Mace and Notorious B.I.G. Been Around the World went to number 2 on the U.S. Hot 100, number 3 in New Zealand. Samples David Bowie's Let's Dance and Lisa Stansfield All Around the World, mentioned on a previous show.
That's right.
The album was Puffy's debut effort, featuring every artist he could find in the world, with Biggie, Busta Rhymes, Mace, Lil Kim, Carl Thomas, Jay-Z, Black Rob, The Lox, Ginuwine, Twista, Foxy Brown, Faith. Basically, he just...
The whole family.
Opened the window and said, who wants to be on the album? And they all come a-running. So everybody was there. This debuted at number 1 on the U.S. Billboard 200. Debuted at number 1. That's crazy. It was nominated for 5 Grammys, winning 1 for Best Rap Album.
Wow.
Sold over 7 million copies, certified 7 times platinum in the U.S., 6 times platinum in Canada in 1997. Of the top 10 songs that reached number 1 in the Billboard charts, 4 of them belonged to Bad Boy Records. The success of this album led to Forbes naming Puffy as one of the 40 highest paid entertainers, along with Master P, make him say, and Oprah.
Wow. Master P and Oprah.
And Puff Daddy.
Wow. Okay.
Well, don't forget about the make him say,
That's a mix. Wow. Okay. Trivia. What is the name of P. Diddy's clothing line?
It is Shanja.
It is. Nice job. All right.
Yeah. Look, Rob. I'm a hip guy.
Wow. Did you ever own any Shanja?
I like the boogie.
You like the boogie.
No, I did not own Shanja. In
2016, the brand has an annual retail sales of $450 million.
Good job.
Wow. He's doing very well.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, that takes us to 98. We're almost the end of the decade, Rob.
All right.
All right. I chose one album I really liked with one annoying song and an album that I know you really liked. So let's hope we got what we wanted here. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's going to be awkward. So we've got Americana by The Offspring and The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill by Lauryn Hill.
That's right.
No Go Songs here, Pretty Fly for a White Guy, and Doo-Wop, That Thing. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you figure out which song goes to which band. Pretty easy process there. All right. All right, Rob, give us the album. Give us the song.
All right. I drew Lauryn Hill.
Oh, aren't you excited?
Yeah.
Yes. Very small. You know this album. I put this on here for you, hoping you'd get it.
Yeah. And basically, the song kind of repeats this over and over again. It's her and D'Angelo.
You bringing him back around?
Yep.
It's very soulful.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a song called Nothing Else Matters, about the album. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill was among the most acclaimed albums of 1998. It earned 10 nominations, winning 5. Hill became the first woman to receive that many nominations and awards in one night. It has been ranked in numerous best albums list. Critics regard it as one of the greatest albums of the 1990s, as well as one of the greatest albums of all time. It's been certified diamond. Hill is the first female rapper to accomplish this. It's one of the best-selling albums of all time, one of the best-selling albums by a female rapper, and the best-selling neo-soul album of all time.
Yeah, rapper?
No, no, no. Yeah. Right. Well, when she was with the Fugees. The song features D'Angelo. It's an ode to the power of love and how it can overshadow all aspects of life. D'Angelo sings about how he doesn't need the alcohol to feel good because his lover makes him feel 10 feet tall.
Ooh, very good.
Trivia. What music legend is the grandfather of Lauryn's children?
Oh.
A, Lenny Kravitz, B, Ray Charles, C, Bob Marley, or D, Lionel Richie?
I want to go with Lionel.
Ooh. Oh, as if. No, it's Bob Marley.
Oh.
Hill has a total of 6 children.
Oh.
5 of whom were fathered by Rohan Marley, a former football star and son of music legend Bob Marley. There you go. You just learned something.
I have a fun fact for you, Rob.
Yeah.
Before becoming the immortal Lauryn Hill of the Fugees and this album, she starred and sang in the 1993 film Sister Act 2.
She did.
Great movie, by the way. Highly recommend. 5 stars, whatever the star system is. 10 stars.
I do not think great means it what you think
one,
it means.
Has one of the best closing musical numbers in cinematic history. They sing the gospel, wonderful tune, Joyful, Joyful. Mm-hmm. Mix in some hip hop and some rap, and they sing. It's
a bold statement.
Makes me cry every time I watch it. I know they're going to win.
Wow.
And I'm still hoping they're going to win.
It makes you cry.
Wow. I already know the answer.
You get all
and
emotional.
I still root for them. I suggest you pull that up on the YouTube. Joyful, Joyful, Sister Act 2. Will not be disappointed.
Getting your gospel on.
Real people know anyway. So, so I got the Offspring, which is good.
That's good.
Had a resurgence after some early 90s success. I Can't Be Pretty Fly here. So off of this album, see, I can be corny too. Oh. My song selection is my favorite song on the track or the album, track number 5. And it is...
This is the Kids Aren't All Right.
Kids Aren't All Right.
That's what I picked.
Yeah, so good. I love this song. Yeah. Tells a story, Rob.
It does. I quote this song often, and I'll tell you why. Well, I don't quote it's the title.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, so it's funny that the most popular song originally off this album, it was MTV Royalty, All That's Pretty Fly for a White Guy. And I kind of detest that song. It's kind of silly. It's kind of, I don't know why it got so popular, but it is what it is.
What do they call it? Not a parody, but novelty song.
Yeah. That I don't now today, as of this year, Kids Aren't All Right is actually the most downloaded on Spotify from that album. So as you said, Kids Aren't All Right, this song was a top 10 hit on the U.S. Alternative Airplay chart, was used in the movie The Faculty, and was included on the video game Rock Band. The album debuted at number 6 on the U.S. Billboard 200 and is their second best-selling album after Smash, which is a great album. Most people probably remember it for Pretty Fly because MTV, TRL, all the good stuff, but there are a lot better songs on the album. I tell you to go look. There's a lot more if you haven't done so. It hit number 1 in Australia, Austria, New Zealand, Poland, and Sweden. Peaked number 2 on the U.S. Billboard 200. This was a juggernaut of an album, apparently. It was certified 8 times platinum in Canada, 5 times platinum in Australia and the U.S. Overall, really good album. Lots of good tracks. Yeah. But this is by far the best song.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's actually, they said critics consider this one of their best songs. Yeah.
Oh,
Dexter Holland wrote the song after visiting his hometown in California and discovering many of his old acquaintances had found problems in life like unplanned pregnancy, unemployment, drug addiction, and suicide. And I've said this about our current climate.
Yes.
I tell people that I work with in the education field, I go, the kids are not all right. Uh-huh. Things are not good out there. So anyway, did you know that Dexter Holland wasn't always the lead singer of The Offspring?
Are you going to tell me about how he's a scientist?
Nope.
And that he's a doctor?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I read a story that said he started... this is even better.
Oh, okay.
I read a story that said he started in the seafood industry shucking oysters for a restaurant.
Ooh, very good.
Yeah. One day he saw an ad for a competition in oyster shucking, but it was a team challenge. He showed up solo and knows he won't be let in. So his confidence is low at this point, and he still signs up. The attendant notices he's only writes down one name. And the judge says, why? And he replies, I'm just a shucker with no shellfish team.
Oh. Did he really say that?
Nope.
Nope. I didn't think so.
None of that is true.
That doesn't sound like anything at all. You made the whole thing up. Get out of here. Shucker.
Yeah, I'm just a shucker with no shellfish
team. You probably need to shuck off. That's what needs to happen. All right. So we're ready to close out this decade. These two albums are awesome. So
we're going
to have a lot of fun here. Time to close it out.
I think your little fancy doodad machine is broken.
1999.
It gave me the stupid ones.
All right. The two albums for 99. Whether you enjoyed them or not, they were the hottest things on the radio and MTV, Rob.
Okay.
You can't deny that. We've got Millennium by the Backstreet Boys and Enema of the State by your favorite silly band, Blink-182. Songs you cannot use to close out this decade are Show Me the Meaning of Being Lonely by the Backstreet Boys and All the Small Things by Blink-182. Time to end this on a high note, Rob. So give us what you got.
Well, based on my reaction, I will tell you I got Backstreet Boys.
Awesome.
Yeah. No.
Here's what I'll do.
Big pilot.
We've gone this whole thing and you've taken what you've taken. You've got another song for Blink 182. I will be more more than happy to take Backstreet Boys because I love the song I have. Well, and I actually would like to talk about it.
I like the song. So I actually put right here, if you can see my notes, I really want to hate this song.
Oh, okay.
But
it's hard to hate it. All right.
Okay. So here we go.
You're part of the Backstreet Boys now.
All right.
Let's go. This is the song. I would have gotten this song as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh. See, you can't help it.
Rob. This might be an ultimate pop song. Whether you like it or not.
I know.
The structure of that song is almost a perfect pop song.
I know. And that's why I put I want to hate it, but I sing it when it comes on. You can't help not seeing it. It's Backstreet Boys, released April of 99. Pop ballad. It tells of a romantic relationship strained by matters of emotional or physical distance. It's been described as the pop ballad of the year. The song was nominated for 3 Grammy Awards, including the Song and Record of the Year. That's dumb. It was placed on number 240 on Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs of All Time. It's their signature song. It reached number 1 in more than 25 countries, peaked at number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 for 8 non-consecutive weeks. Mm. It's been parodied by Blink 182, also on our choices here, All the Small Things. Received 4 VMA nominations, winning Viewer's Choice. Little trivia for you. In which airport was the I Want It That Way video shot? Los Angeles, New York, Orlando, or Chicago?
I want to go with New York.
No, it was Los Angeles. The music was filmed at Los Angeles International Airport but on 2 days, April 1st and 2nd. This is a quick turnaround. Yeah. It was filmed April 1st and 2nd of 99. And then it debuted on MTV's TRL on May 5th. So a month later, it was on the old video box there.
Video box.
The video was uploaded to YouTube 10 years after. And it's, okay, the video is one of only a few from the 1990s to surpass 1 billion views on YouTube. The others include Guns N' Roses, Nirvana's Smell Like Teen Spirit. Oh, Guns N' Roses, November Rain.
Yes.
Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit. 4 Non-Blondes, What's Up, mm-hmm. The Cranberries, Zombie, and Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You.
How about that playlist?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
On August 19th of 2011, China's Ministry of Culture released a list of 100 songs, including the then 12-year-old I Want It That Way, that were required to be removed from the internet. The Chinese government claims that such measures are necessary for national security purposes. Why in the world are the Backstreet Boys?
I don't know. I don't even have a funny thought as to why.
Backstreet Boys are, infiltrating China. I don't know.
It's just distracting.
I do want to know, though.
Yes.
What many critics over the years have questioned the song's lyrical meaning.
Oh, yeah.
Mainly the line, I want it that way.
Yeah, what
about it? This one writer says, it makes zero sense. Even worse, no further explanation is given for what that is.
It's left to your devices. You get to decide what that is. I was going to say, have you ever watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
A little bit of it. My kids watch it.
So I'll tell anyone out there who knows as a fan, they already know, but it has one of the best openings to a show ever. Go YouTube Brooklyn Nine-Nine and this song, and you'll laugh a lot, I promise. So anybody who knows, knows. You already know it's hilarious. My kids laugh. We love it. It's great. That means I get the goofballs that are Blink 182.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I can't go with All the Small Things, which is a parody of boy band songs. Yeah. So I went with more of the somber kind of sad song.
Mm-hmm.
So it is Adam's song.
Oh, yes. Also the song I picked.
Oh, yeah. Another story.
It's really good. Very sad, but it's good.
And not a positive song.
I love it.
Really good.
Yep.
So
that's the
little different than some of their other songs too. So, this is Adam's song. This song had a popular premise in the late 90s, early 2000s of music, which was suicide. You can go find Papa Roach. You can find all these bands. And that seemed to be a hot topic.
Yeah.
This song was inspired by Nirvana's Come As You Are and was one of the last songs added to the album. Hit number 2 on the U.S. alternative chart, number 1 on the U.S. Bubbling Under Hot 100 Singles. Not sure what that is. I'm figuring what that means, but there it is. The album has sold over 4 million copies, is the band's most successful release. It hit number 9 in the U.S. Billboard Hot 200, number 4 in Australia, number 2 in New Zealand. It was certified 5 times platinum in the U.S. and went platinum in 5 other countries. People love the Blink 182.
They do. Hey, a little trivia for it. Travis Barker. He suffered a traumatic event in 2008. What was it? Car crash, plane crash, death of his father, death of his wife.
Oh, a B.
Plane crash.
Excellent.
Nice job.
Yeah. I really guess.
On September 19th, 2008, he was in a plane crash and suffered burns to 65% of his body. Goodness. Almost had his right foot amputated and was in the hospital for 11 weeks, undergoing 27 different surgeries and skin grafts.
Interesting Blink 182 facts. They were in the movie American Pie. They're actually watching when Jim is dancing for Nadia in his room the camera. They're on there. Well, Travis Barker had just joined the band. And I guess the American Pie guys don't know, because if you watch the movie and watch the credits, they actually, Travis Barker's name doesn't appear. It's the old drummer's name, even though Travis is in the movie.
Oh, so, wow.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, that reveals some songs off big 90s albums, Rob. Some weren't the biggest hits. Some were still pretty solid songs. Mm-hmm. Some you might have heard for the first time. Was there an album you wanted to play that you didn't get a chance to play?
No. I think of the choices that we had, you mean?
Correct.
Yeah, I think Everclear was but we kind of talked about it a little bit. I really liked the album. I wish I would have selected that. But
you were good with all the other ones?
Yeah.
I think you chose? Yeah. Even Spice Girls?
Even Spice Girls and the Backstreet Boys. Yeah. Actually, I don't know. Spice Girls was a bit of a stinker. Backstreet Boys, I want to hate it, but...
But you can't.
You can't help.
Even if you don't know what it is, right?
Yeah. And you said. You have to sing it.
You have to sing it.
Yeah. But anyway,
tell me why.
Oh yeah.
Tell you why what?
It's a well-crafted song.
It might be a perfect pop song.
Whoever wrote that, damn you.
Yeah. Well, if you enjoy this podcast, please take a second to give it 5 stars. Drop us a review. We love those. Makes us feel good about ourselves. Also, check out our website at totally80s90srecall.podbean.com. You can find links to all our social media sites, as well as subscribing to our Facebook group for weekly updates, future episode ideas. We do some reels over there. We have some fun. If you want to get in touch with us, email us. The show at 80s90srecall@gmail.com. I read this every week. You'd think I'd know, which allows you to recommend future show ideas, comment on previous topics, ask us questions that we'll feature on future mailbag episodes. Finally, subscribe to our YouTube channel because we're lovely. If you'd like to see Rob and I while you're listening, links to all our social media, merchandise store. We have a merchandise store. We have some t-shirts up there. They're just for fun. Mm-hmm. We don't really even make any money off them. No. We just put them out there for people to have fun, wear them, laugh, have a good time. Mm-hmm. Everything's included in the show notes. You can check it out after the episode. So, Rob, you got any closing thoughts or
No, I really enjoyed that. That was fun. That was a...
I assumed you would like that.
Kudos to you and the writers for putting that together.
I assume you'd like it because you get to deep dive into some records and you like to write 5 pages of stuff. So it should have run right up your alley.
And I think you mentioned at the top, we're prepping for a year end show. And so I'm going back and listening to shows and, there will be some discussion about my early pre-production work and some of the criticism I received for my lack of pre-production.
And now
so I feel better about
now you over prepare.
Yeah, I don't.
So it's good. Yeah. All right. Well,
Laurel will be proud that I've put the Etch-A-Sketch away.
That is correct. Yeah. So, well, before we close, Rob and I are always excited to hear from the audience and we love feedback. So recently, Rob, we received an email from a fan I'd like to share real quick. Steve from the great state of Minnesota. Big ups to Minnesota Twins, right?
That's right.
He writes, huge fan of the show. I've binge listened every episode and now look forward to each week's new episode. As a child of the 80s and 90s, I'd like to recommend you cover the movie The Goonies.
Oh.
That seems like a good idea.
I do.
As it has
road trip.
It's been a huge part of my movie watching life. While I love each and every episode, and while I don't always agree with all of your picks, it's still entertaining and I laugh a lot with your comments and ideas. And to close, I'll use one of your lines. No fancy goodbye, as I love that every time I hear it.
Oh, that's fun. That's good.
There we go. So thank you, Steve in Minnesota.
Steve. And I will tell Steve that I don't always agree with my own picks.
Yes. So, sometimes you think twice about it at the end. So, that's right. Well, sadly, that brings us to the end of this episode. We hope you've enjoyed laying back and listening to some sweet tunes off some great 90s albums. If you like today's musical choices, we have provided links to Spotify, Apple, and Amazon playlists in the show notes so you can really experience these great songs how they were meant to be listened to. Finally, we'd like to thank you, the listeners, whether first-timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob and I. Hopefully we gave you an hour or so of some laughs, and don't forget to tune in for all new episodes, Totally 80s and 90s Recall, every Tuesday.
So we have another show coming up. What is our homework?
Our homework is we are doing our top 80s television theme songs.
Ooh.
And we're doing something different on this one, Rob, something we've never done before.
Oh boy.
We are working together on this one. We have a collaboration. We are not going to argue. We're not going to have opposing ideas. We actually put a list of 20 songs together ourselves. And, you know, whatever that process was is what it was. But we came out with a list and we're going to go over it. And it's going to be fun.
Okay.
Because there are some, as the kids say, bangers, from those 80s television theme songs.
I really don't like that word.
I mean, you don't.
No.
But there it is. But, but you'll say shuckers and things like that. So that's fine. Right. So, Rob, in honor of Steve from Minnesota, fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbye.
Awesome. And now we can go exercise the demons.
No. Nobody is exercising any demon. Stop it.
We will.
No.
We will shuck off the demons.
Oh, crap. I can't delete that.
You can't delete anything. Take it off.